One of the things that I need to say is that I am really, really excited about tonight. I have never been part of a congregation where you have the elders come up in the pulpit and have something to do with worship services. I've been part of congregations where one by one, sometime or another, might be part of it, but never have I been part of a congregation where everybody, all the elders came forward, and I'm so excited about this. I also need to say this, is that when it was brought to our attention about wanting to do this, and there came to the part where they said, hey, who's going to do the lesson for that night? All of a sudden, I looked around, and all the other elders took a step back. I was like, wait a minute. No, that didn't really happen. What really happened was that Cliff said, hey, by the way, that's going to be the night of the Bible Bowl. So who would like to deliver the message? I stuck that hand up, I'll do it. And he said, you only have about 15 minutes. I said, I can do that. 15 minutes worth of lesson. So please forgive me if I'm a little bit longer than 15 minutes, but I will keep in mind that, wait a minute, the youth is going to be participating in the Bible Bowl. And so as I let you guys know as well that, hey, if you don't mind, after this service is over, it'd be great if you guys can hang out and join this congregation with our youth as part of the Bible Bowl. That would be fantastic. So anyway, on to the lesson, the mind of Christ. You ever thought about that in the scriptures, the mind of Christ? Now think about this. I'm going to present this to you because this is what happened in my life. As I became a teenager and I realized, wait a minute, if I wanted to drive, if I wanted stuff, I had to get a job. And my dad told me at that particular time, as I'm looking around for a job and applying for jobs, my dad told me, he said, look, son, this is what you need to do. You need to find somebody that is the most experienced person and the best at their job and hang out with that person every chance you can. Because what's going to happen is you're going to find out why they are so successful, why they have been at that job for so long. And guess what? I found that to be true. Every single job that I had, I thought, man, Dad and his wisdom was right all along. And the reason why I bring this up is because Apostle Paul, in the same regards with the scriptures. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he starts off with that chapter by stating, depending on what version you have, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know this is something that's pretty significant too, is that when you look at some of the words, some of the things are pretty much the same, just the words themselves are a little different. For example, the mind of Christ. Another way to word that Paul uses, in Christ, we all can identify with that, or in Him, or in the Spirit. As you look into the Scriptures, especially in Paul's writing, you'll find out that it's interchangeable as you go through the Scriptures. And one thing that is fascinating, in Him, or in Christ, in the wording of that, happens about 180 times in the New Testament. 180 times. There's something pretty important about that. Paul uses either one of those about 134 of those 180 times. He's really stressing that point in Christ, in the Spirit, in Him, in the mind of Christ. Single-minded and the singleness of that. Our young folks here, one of the things that I want to bring to your attention is this. You might know somebody, a celebrity or somebody that might play sports or something like that, or you might have a friend that seems like they're really successful. Whatever they do, they seem to be really successful in doing their accomplishments. And the thing that is pretty neat about this is that you can watch, you can observe, and by doing that, you can start imitating that person. They have, if you will, a certain kind of recipe for success. And we as an adults, we can do the same thing. Matter of fact, there are people that might have certain type of lectures or whatever, or might write books in hopes that, hey, people might want to know my story. They might want to be successful in whatever field that I'm in, that influence might help them as well. But to a different degree, as we think about the scriptures, this is something that is fascinating, y'all. Think about this. God that spoke all things into existence, God created you individually. He created you individually. As you think about the scriptures, think about where Paul was saying, God, you knew me before I was in my mother's womb. that you knit me together, my whole being. That's fascinating if you think about that. Before you knew yourself, before your mama even knew you in the womb, God already knew you. God knows your capacities. God knows your abilities. Think about this. God is the ultimate programmer. A lot of y'all out there know something about computers. I do not. I don't want to pretend. But one thing I do know about computers, I work with it every day, is that there's got to be a programmer putting the programs into that. God is the ultimate programmer. He has the program, and He knows what you're capable of doing. As we read the scriptures, the thing that is fascinating is that as we want to imitate Christ, as we want to be successful in life, as we want to make sure that not only can I do this, God says, I know you can. I know you can do this. As a matter of fact, God is saying through His scriptures, time and time and time again, as you read from the Old Testament into the New, that those that really want to do what is right according to God will accept His word and be successful in life. Isn't that fascinating, y'all? It doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter about your background, your family, where you're born at, what you're capable of doing, your talents. God can take you and make you successful. But we need to submit. We need to accept that type of mind. And that's what's so fascinating about Paul, how he's able to say that and communicate it to us. And sometimes as we read, we often read through the scriptures and we don't really focus on words like the mind. Let's see if I can get this right. One of the definitions I really appreciated is this, as I was studying for this: the faculty of thought, decisions, and consciousness. The mind. Now think about that. The faculty of thought. I am, as one said, therefore I do. As we think about the scriptures, God created me. But this is something that is really neat, is that Paul, he's saying, hey, how are you watching me conduct my life, my history, whatnot? He's telling all people that want to follow Christ, he's saying, look, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And this particular passage is something that is really fascinating and captivates me, is this. In chapter 2 of Philippians, this is what he says, this is Paul. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Of one mind. You know, the thing that is also neat to think about the scriptures and to think about how God has designed the church, His kingdom, His body of believers, is that every single one of us is a member of that one body. And we know the analogy that Paul has demonstrated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as he breaks that down, and how some might think, hey, I'm not as important as some other body member, but you are. We're all equal. We're all talented. We all have a special purpose. But the thing that really binds us together is being that one body. And how is that possible? Now, one of the things I'm going to go ahead and speak as a shepherd elder as I'm up here in this pulpit is to let y'all know this. Is that think about this. As the eldership tries to think about all the different events, tries to think about ministers that we have, think about teachers, think about all the members, all the different talents that we have here, all the different ministries, all the different missionaries that we support, all the different talents that y'all have, we have to think about it and weigh things out continuously, not just one time, continuously. That's why we try to meet every week. But this is something I want y'all to really think about. Just like what Paul, as he's gone through with his missionary work, all these different regions and starting congregations and visiting them and edifying and bringing them together and making sure not to be like the Corinthian church because they seem so divided. But think about this. There are a lot of us that are called out, not just of the world, but also out of different type of belief systems. And sometimes we can't help but to bring some of those doctrines, teachings, tenets with us as we come together into the body of Christ. Because that's what we were taught before as being the teachings of God. So sometimes we can't help to bring it in and then come to realize, wait a minute, as I'm studying the scriptures, what I used to believe is not true. I need to give that up. So that's why we as the eldership, as the shepherds, like to make sure that, hey, who are teaching the classes? What is their background? We need to know to make sure that, do they really know what the scriptures teach? Or somebody is called to carry on a certain ministry on behalf of Hilldale. We got to know their background because they are not only representative of Hilldale Church of Christ, but of Christ. So that's why sometimes it seems as if, wait a minute, why is the eldership taking so long to decide on a ministry or on a particular person? Because we want to make sure we are of the same mind, of the same mind. And so in us, those of us that are called might be in a denominational world or in other some other type of a belief system or just not even a believer whatsoever. Those things have to be weighed out. But ultimately, God knew through His scriptures that was going to happen. And that's why we have like Romans chapter 14 on weighing out certain things about days and festivals and things that you eat. To weigh that out, God left that up to make sure that Christians can be guided through His word and helped by the oversight of the eldership to make sure things are brought together, brought into that one mind. Now, I know I'm carrying on for a little bit longer, but anyways, one of the things I'd like for you to just as a caveat to this is look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And 1 Peter chapter 5 is pretty fascinating from the eldership perspective because Peter, the Apostle Peter, was also an elder and he stays in that. But if you look through there, he uses at least three different terminologies on the position of an elder. He uses the eldership, he uses shepherds as in feeding the flock, and he also uses overseers. That's pretty fascinating if you think about that. But anyways, turn us back around and about that one mind. So the eldership, the shepherds, we got to make sure that we all stay within that one mind. We all have grown up and were nurtured in a single home. And as you think about that, think about how you have siblings and cousins or whatnot. And when you get them all together and you try to do anything, for every person that's there, they come up with a different idea on how to do things or different suggestions. They're not of that one mind. And you can see how the church can get like that sometimes, how it can become so disorganized. So that one mind is very fascinating. But this is also what he says. He says this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So the way to do that, and that's what Paul was stressing, is by having that one mind. And also a little caveat to that, I like to direct your mind or attention if you're taking notes. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, And towards the end of that, I'll give you the gist of it, paraphrasing, is that to have the mind towards the end of that chapter, chapter 2, Paul saying, we have the mind of Christ. If you back up in that chapter, how is it possible for us to have that one mind and to have the mind of Christ? Paul reveals that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting right about in chapter 9. The gist of it is this. He's talking about the wisdom. In that particular culture, they like, you know, the Roman culture and all that, really big on philosophy and whatnot, and the wisdom of men. But Paul's saying, wait a minute, there's a better wisdom, the wisdom of God. And he's talking about this wisdom that is being delivered by the Spirit. And he's saying in there, how do you know about that spirit, what is right or what is wrong? And he's given this analogy. He said this. He said, how do you know what's in anybody's mind or their heart unless they reveal it to you? Sure, you might have some people think they can read minds, but really they cannot. They can take an educated guess. But Paul's saying, how do you know? The only way you know is for that person to tell you what's on their mind. God is telling us what's on His mind. And not only that, we have the capacity. And that's why what we just read in chapter 2, if, the two-letter words, I-F, if you do this, you can have the mind. So it's showing responsibility on our part. If we truly want to have that mind of Christ, the mind of God, we have to put effort into that, to read the Scriptures. Not only to read it, but also to bring it out and manifest it, to make sure, wait a minute, after all, what is our true identity? Our true identity. Are you a Christian or not? James, in the book of James, he said, I can show you my faith. I can show you it. It's by the works that I do. Not by what I say, but by what I do. And so that's what Christ knows. And that's what Paul was referring to. If we have that mind of Christ, we will show that love. We will show that unity in Christ and in Christ alone. And that's why we cling to that name, Christian, and no other name. Because there's no other salvation under heaven, no other name other than Christ. So if there are any among us that feel as if, wait a minute, I don't think I'm in Christ quite yet. And we know, according to what Paul says over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and following, that you have to be baptized to be put into Christ and to be heirs of that salvation by the promise of Abraham. Or, if you feel as if you need the prayers of the congregation, there's no better time than now while we stand up and sing this invitation song.